Hello and welcome back to the Road Trip Playlist podcast. I'm your host, Thomas Darrow. It's been a while, but I'm so glad to be back with you with Stacy Ryan. Stacy's our guest this week. Stacy is an incredible musician. You may remember her from the viral TikTok video she shared. It was an open verse challenge to Please Don't Text Me When You're Drunk. The song that she was writing wasn't even finished with before it became one of the biggest videos on TikTok last year. It's been seen over 17 million times, and that's just the original video. Some of the duets have 7 million streams, and the following videos, Jimmy Fallon duetted it. A number of people, this video just kind of last year around the holidays, around New Year's, she shared this video, and it went everywhere. I guarantee you, if you're listening, you've probably seen it or remember this. As long as you have the TikTok app, maybe in a few months you'll see it kind of slide over to being on Instagram Reels. And so she'll have a second wave of just people coming to stream this song. She ended up getting a record deal off of this song. She signed with Republic Records. She released the song in just a matter of 3 months. It's crazy to hear the timeline, and we talked about it in our interview here. She ended up going on tour with Lawrence, who I was seeing her open for just a special show for the Staycation little festival that Lawrence did in Brooklyn, New York. And she opened up for Joshua Bassett. She's played festivals. A bunch of really cool things have happened to Stacy in the last year, and rightfully so. I had the chance to see her open for Lawrence at Brooklyn Steel, and she put on an incredible set. She has this incredible voice, beautiful voice. Beautiful playing when it was beautiful piano, and then also these incredible jazz runs. And it was really a pleasure to see her in her element live at Brooklyn Steel and put on an incredible opening set. And really, it's just opening the door for one of the biggest rising stars in music and soul pop, and really bringing back jazz into music. And that's one of the things that I see with her, and it was incredible to talk to her about the processes and everything that's coming. So quick note on the interview, it was during sound check. I do have these mics that they did hold up pretty well, and I think buffered out some of the sound. But if you hear at times music in the background, or it sounds a little bit differently than our usual audio quality, it is because we were doing sound check just before the show. But it was great having some time with Stacy to talk about this. If the audio bugs you on this interview, I don't think it will. I've listened. It sounds pretty good. But you can also read it on our website at roadtripplaylist.com. And so thanks again for being here. Thanks for listening to the Road Trip Playlist podcast. Feel free to like, subscribe, and do all of that. But most importantly, stay tuned for my conversation with Stacy after a quick word from our sponsors. It's great to be with you. This is called the Road Trip Playlist podcast. It's for roadtripplaylist.com. I started it because, like, I found out that I loved music by making these playlists for friends on road trips we would go on in college. And that's when I first found the music that I, like, actually loved instead of pretended to love. So I'd like to start out by asking, what's on your road trip playlist?
So it's funny. I am really bad with like playlists and stuff. I just like songs, and then when I go on Spotify to listen to music, I just shuffle all my like songs.
Okay.
And then I'm like, I'm not in that mood, and I'll skip. So I'm kind of terrible. But I did start making. I think I made like a chill, like not hip hop, but like R&B style okay. playlist. Which, if I was going on a road trip, I'd probably play that.
Okay.
Because it's like chill, but it's also like movement, so it's keeping me like awake.
No,
or,
that's
you know.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. And I just am the opposite. I just started liking music on Spotify and realizing what that feature does for you. And it's like, oh, instead of if you don't know where it fits and you're finding a new song, like it and then come back to it.
And then come back. You know, I should just have a bunch of different playlists, and when I like a song, goes into a playlist directly.
Boom.
That would be the best way to like organize. Maybe
yeah.
I should do that.
That's the way. But we talked a little bit just before we started about your opening for Lawrence tonight, which is incredible. It's a perfect fit if you listen
perfect
to both
fit.
Of your music. You've toured with them before, but what's it like opening for them? What's it like? You've talked before we started about being bonded kind of forever with them.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It feels like a really full circle moment, because I remember listening to their stuff like when I was in like university, and I would drive to school and I'd put their album on and I would listen to it, and then flash forward to now that I'm opening and now we're all friends, we all know each other. And like, you know, I feel like we kind of go beyond just like the opener and the main act. Yeah. Like, I feel like we're legitimately friends and I could always call them up if I ever like needed them for like a project, or if they have like vice versa, or even just to like hang out if we're ever in the same spot, you know? So I feel like I just gained a group of like really awesome friends at the same time.
That's it. And what cool friends, what cool people to be friends with.
Literally. They're like the most nice, cool, awesome people ever. So.
Have you been invited to a Settlers of Catan night?
No, I want to go to that.
Do you know, I guess Clyde, I had Clyde on the podcast and he like, I found on his website, he said he wants to be a professional Settlers of Catan player. And I talked to him about that. And it was during, I think, it was like at the end of lockdown, but he talked about how much he had been playing Settlers of Catan online with friends. And one of my goals is to one day play Settlers of Catan with Lawrence and anyone associated with it. So if you want to play Settlers one day,
I don't even like Settlers. I'm on the West Coast. It's hard because they're based on the East Coast. But, I remember one night, the night of my show in New York on my birthday, Clyde came, and then we all went out afterwards, and then he invited me to, I think it was Johnny's? Someone's birthday that was, like, happening in New York City, and I had a show the next day in Times Square, and by the time, like, we got back to the hotel, it was already over. It was, like, an early party thing, so I got invited to that.
Okay. So that's a good invite. And playing in Times Square is a good reason not to miss it. I saw the videos. You've had so many cool moments in like the last year. What's been one of the coolest things that you've done?
I mean, Times Square is probably literally the coolest thing, because how many people can say that they've played their own music in literally the middle of Times Square with cars going by and people walking, people stopping. Sorry, I'm literally getting a phone call. Let me just
no worries.
Exit. Who is this? That's my roommate. Sorry, boo. I ignored it. He'll know that I can't talk. But So Times Square was super cool. I playing a festival in Hyde Park in London.
Oh wow.
That was my first it wasn't my first festival. Oh my god, there's so many moments. That was my first solo festival performance. I also played the Jazz Fest in Montreal.
Oh wow, that's like
it's super, right? Yeah, because it was like I had played the Jazz Fest before in 2016, but I did it like a blues like a summer camp, a week-long summer camp, and it was about like blues music.
Okay.
So we like all these bunch of kids auditioned, we got put into bands, and then we practiced with like teachers alongside us for a week, and then at the end of the week we all performed on the big stage.
Okay, that's incredible.
And it was fire. And I actually, what's really funny is that the guitarist in my band back in 2016 was the guitarist in my band this year.
Whoa.
So it was super, that like that's where super... we met for the first time, then we went to school together after. So that was full circle. There's too many to name, but those are like some of the really cool ones.
Well, you mentioned school. You've gone to music school for like you went to high school music, a jazz music high school.
So it's pretty complicated because in Quebec, where I grew up, you do high school, and then when you leave high school, instead of going right to like college to get your bachelor's degree, you go to this school, like a completely different school, on a completely different campus called CEGEP.
Okay.
So you do that. And you kind of, you get the equivalent of an associate's degree in the U.S.
Interesting.
But in Canada, we call it a college degree. So I'm like, I have a college degree in jazz interpretation.
Wow.
And then I went on to university to get my bachelor's.
Okay.
Which for us, it's 3 years instead of four.
Interesting.
So it's kind it's kind of all the same thing at the end of the day. Not really, but like, I feel like I have almost the same education as someone who did music school in the U.S.
Totally.
But I didn't finish my bachelor's degree because I dropped out to do music full time, and I think it's going pretty well.
It seems to be. I'd say you made a good choice. Did you always know? Like, how long have you known that you wanted to do music?
Forever.
Forever.
It was always like when I was a kid. Like, obviously, when I was a kid, I wasn't really thinking about like what my job would be. But sorry, this song is so good. When I got older, my parents were like, hey, like, do you maybe want to take... this is so weird that I remember this, but in high school, in grade 10, I took, like, advanced math.
Okay.
Because my parents were like, it's good to have, you know? Like, if ever you want to do something else. And I'm like, okay. So I took it, passed it, but it was really hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I went to grade 11, because we graduate in grade 11, we don't have grade 12.
Oh, okay.
So it's all different. It's all messed up. But I went to regular math because I was like, I don't need advanced math. I'm going to be a musician.
Yeah.
There was no plan B, ever.
Interesting.
Like, never, no, ever. I was just kind of like, hopefully it works out.
Well, were you writing music? When did you start writing music?
So, yeah, I only started writing music when I was like 18, 19. Because okay. I didn't write before then because I was like, I've never lived through anything impactful enough to write about. Which kind of, looking back on it now, is kind of dumb because I could have written about experience, like, other people, like an experience in someone else's shoes. Like, it doesn't have to necessarily be what I have been through. That's obviously what most people write their songs about. And then I kind of got out of that and was like, let me write some music. And then I started, and the rest is history.
Well, that's incredible. And I'm the same way. I can't write about, like,
other stuff.
And I don't write music, but, like, the only time I wrote something, and listeners of the podcast are probably sick of hearing this story, but it's, like, one time I wrote, like, a poem, like, when it was just purely to release stress. It's one of the only times that I did it, and it was about, like, a deeply personal thing. And the only reason I shared it, it may be a little manipulative looking back, but the only reason I shared it was because I had a bad grade in class, because I talked a lot. I was like a bad citizenship grade. And it's like, oh, instead of having to, like, stay after school and make it up, I wanted to, like, do this. So I shared with the teacher my poem, and she's like, oh my gosh, it made me cry. And it brought, and she's like, she moved my grade up. And it was like, whoa, okay. But that's the only time I've ever really shared writing that's not about music.
That's so good. I'm so glad you did that.
It was one of those things where I can only write about personal things. And I wanted to talk about, you just recently released a song this week. It's a stripped version of it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about it because it's one of those ones where it's off your own personal experience, and I think you do that so well. You do that so well as writing about personal experience, and, like, in a way that people can relate to it. And so, how, like, has it always been easy writing about personal experience and sharing it? Because I only do it in that manipulative way. Yours is actually good in helping people, and people are gravitating with it quick.
Honestly, it really depends on the subject matter, because, like, there's stuff that I've went through, that I'm going through, that, like, I don't think I would ever write about because it's just too personal.
Yeah.
It's just, like, that thing that I wouldn't want to say, you know, because, like, I'm allowed to have some privacy in, like, absolutely, my song matter and what I write about. But when you, it's like, because it's really different when you write a song using something that you're going through. The song sometimes just writes itself because the emotions are so there, they're so present. But on the other hand, when you're writing about maybe a situation that you're not going through and you're just kind of doing it as, like, a more like a songwriting exercise, by trying to put yourself in, like, someone else's shoes and write a song, it's also a different, like, it's a different kind of cool, because you're trying to live an experience that you're not going through. So it's like a brain workout. But at the end of the day, the song could be just as good.
No.
And the song that you wrote going through personal experience might not be that good. You know, it's not a given that it's going to be amazing just because, like, you're living through it. It might just be easier to write.
Well, that is true. And tell me about the most recent song, Fall in Love Alone. Falling in Love Alone or Fall in Love Alone?
Fall in Love Alone.
Okay, I want to make sure my writing wasn't there. You just released the stripped version this week, as I said, and you've also had the sped up version, which I love. I've loved each version of it.
It's kind of a banger.
Yeah, what led to, well, I love all of them, to be clear, but what led to kind of releasing it in the three different ways and kind of tempos?
I mean, this original song was released in May, and the plan was just to keep it that way and just have the original song out, and that's great. And then it has this big moment on TikTok, especially over in Southeast Asia, and sped up songs are a thing of the moment. Like, yes, everyone's doing it, and it's trending very heavily, like, on TikTok and stuff. So someone made a sped up sound, and then it just started, like, going absolutely crazy. I think it has, like, one of the sounds has, like, 750,000 videos using it, and another one has 300,000. So, like, at least over a million people, or a million videos at least, have used the sped up version.
That's crazy.
So we thought, why not just put it out? Maybe people want to listen to that.
Totally.
Instead of just, like, the 20-second clip on TikTok, and people really liked it. And then we thought, why not release the third installment, you know, the stripped version, because we also got asked, like, maybe not, like, a million times, but we got asked, like, I saw enough comments saying, hey, please release this on Spotify, like, the stripped down version. And so I think it's kind of cool to have that succession of the three coming out, and now, like, because, you know, you have the OG.
Yeah.
And then you just have, like, its two, like, little counterparts.
No, it's cool. It's like, yeah, you got they're all covered and they're all great. And it's all different. You can listen to them in different moods that you're in.
Exactly. If you want to, like, yeah, if you want to just have more of a bop, like a dance bop, you listen to the bass one. If you're feeling a little melancholic, you know, you listen to the stripped down one. There's one for every mood.
It's perfect. And that's what I love. I think more songs maybe need to be that way.
Like release in a group of three.
Yeah.
The acoustic, the sped up, and the original.
TikTok's changed music so much already that this is the next thing.
You might want to make, like, you might want to do that. Like, be like, yo, I invented that.
That's what it is.
It's my theory.
Yeah. It's music. Music people hire me. But. Literally. You talked about how it's blowing. That's blowing up on TikTok. I wanted to talk. You're like, you said, oh yeah, we started to see. I saw a few comments about this. Your whole, one of your TikTok videos blew up off of a comment that someone said, hey, I'd love to write a verse for this. And so you opened an open verse challenge, which, one, I want to ask, it's got to be filming one of those feels a little bit awkward. I would feel awkward because you just sit there and you're just like, you kind of just have to dance and yep. move a little. But then when you put your phone down, were you what were you expecting with it?
I wasn't expecting anything, to be honest. Like, I remember writing the song, and I think when I put the open verse out, it wasn't even fully written yet. I think I only had like the chorus and like the pre-chorus and like verse one or something, because I wrote it in a practice room at my university.
Oh my gosh.
And the first video that I ever posted was in that practice room when I first wrote it. It was like November 30th.
Okay.
And then, I don't know if you know Sadie Jean. She was going super viral like around the end of December for her open verse challenge for her song, What Are You Doing Now? And I remember Nils, my manager, he was like, hey, like, have you ever thought of doing an open verse? And I was like, I don't know which song I could do it with, because I didn't really have any original music.
Yeah.
Like, that I could do it with. And he's like, what about that Don't Text When You're Drunk? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, I don't have, because her version, you could tell that the song was finished and ready to be put out.
Yeah.
And they just kind of, like, muted her vocals and put it out, because it sounded really, well-produced and stuff. And he's like, oh, just, like, put something together. And I'm like, okay. So then I went on my computer on Logic, and I put the little drums in and the keyboard, and then filmed myself dancing along to it, and uploaded it on December 29th. Like, honestly, these dates will be, like, in imprinted on my brain forever. And then on the 3rd of January, Zai duetted it, and then his video just went, like, stupidly viral. And then the official version with him came out 13 days after that.
That was the timeline was crazy when I was really prepping for this.
And I was also, like, during that time, more near the end, we were on Zoom calls with Nils and like every major label.
Wow.
Because they were seeing what was going on, and they were sending emails to like my inbox.
Really?
Because in my like bio of all my social media, I put my email, because at the time nothing was really happening.
Yeah.
And then it was like, hey, this is so-and-so from Republic Records. And I'm like,
that's crazy.
Okay, let me forward you to my manager.
Yeah.
And then we were doing Zoom calls, and I was also, because my producers were in LA and I was in Montreal, so I was sending them my vocals. I was cutting them like in my room, sending them. And then they'd be like, hey, like, we didn't love the energy, can you redo it all? And I was like, because they didn't have them there to like vocal produce me while I was doing it. And so I was like, okay. And it was like 10 p.m. And I'm like, everyone's sleeping in my house. And they're like, you need to do it. You need to do it. It's so important. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. So it was just, the process was, it was strange. And I don't think I'd love to do it again.
Yeah.
Maybe not that quickly, because we were on a tight deadline. But I do like being in the moment for the action recording. But it was so quick.
Well, that's crazy, and I don't want to, like, I hate saying, like, how quickly it blew up and how quickly it, like, kind of changed everything, because I went through your TikTok, and you're seeing, I saw all the work that you were putting in before that, so it's not, like, an overnight, like, story, like, you were doing so much before, but how much did your life change after, what, December 29th?
Literally, like, I was able to, I mean, I signed a record deal on February 7th. So that's like literally barely 2 months.
That's crazy.
That's like a month after, almost. Yeah. Give or take.
Totally.
I signed a record label. Then only March, April, May. Like 3 months after that, I moved to L.A. 3 months.
That's no time at all.
And I was literally in L.A. more than I was home.
So hard.
I know. I mean, it all just worked out.
That's crazy.
My roommate was looking for a roommate and a place. So he was in L.A. like looking at places. I was home. Like,
wow.
If you would have told me a year ago, like, it was funny, my dad brought me to the airport yesterday because I flew from home to here. And he's like, a year ago today, you were driving this car to school. That's and I was like, Gary Ryan.
It's so weird.
You're right.
It's so weird.
And now I'm sitting in the, I'm sitting at Brooklyn Steel doing a podcast interview before a sold out show.
Yeah. That's insane. And
yeah.
It's, and that feels to me like, I remember that was like Christmas break, but it still feels like, that feels like 2020, 2019.
It feels
like
so far away. It feels like it happened ages ago. I feel like I have lived and gone through so much since then, just because like it's been nonstop.
Yeah.
It's literally been nonstop.
Well, you had a manager, but how prepared do you think you were for everything that came after it?
I mean, prepared? Fine. Expecting it? No. Like, everything that kept coming, I was like, oh, cool. Oh, awesome. But, like, it just kept coming.
Wow.
And, like, it's what I always wanted.
Yeah.
So, every time it came, I, like, accepted it with open arms. But it's definitely, like, wanting it and dreaming about it is so much different than, like, actually
totally.
Doing it. And you realize that it's not, like, always roses and nice flowers and shit.
No, don't worry.
So it's definitely taken like a, you know, to adjust to from like going to school and being at home all the time, especially because quarantine was a super long period and everyone was just kind of hanging out, to like being on the road a lot and not, you know, like never, I mean, not seeing my family as much, you know, because like none of my family lives in LA.
Wow.
Everyone lives. I have some family in like Calgary, which is in Alberta.
Which is still far.
It's still far.
I've done the drive from not California, but Utah, which is closer.
Kind of. Yeah. You've gone to Alberta?
Yeah. I drove.
We did a road trip.
It was the first road trip playlist app, actually. Yeah. We went through Glacier National Park, and my friend's uncle has a lake house in a town in Montana.
I'm not too well
versed. It's just somewhere in Montana, and it was a beautiful place. So that was like a stop. So it wasn't like straight through to Banff, but it was a great road trip. And I'd recommend Banff to anyone.
Honestly, I've only been to Calgary. Like a double hiccup. I went once for my dad's cousin's wedding. And it was nice. And it was, like, literally the end of, like, May, and it snowed and it was freezing.
Whoa,
it was so weird. Alberta
has the
weirdest weather.
It was weird to see snow
like it's
in
snowing
the middle
now.
Of summer. Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not that. Like, it's November. But, I mean, it just is November.
Yeah.
Like, barely.
It's weird. Utah was, too. That's where I'm from.
Utah's kind of, Utah's
kind of
like that.
They were snowing
from Utah
this weekend, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's wild out there, but I'm glad to be gone right now.
Isn't that a dry state?
This
is so random.
It's dry. No, it's very dry, but then you have like up north where it's like the greatest snow on earth.
Oh, I meant alcohol.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. We were talking about weather. That's why I was like...
It's out of dry heat.
No, this is my bad. Because isn't it a dry state?
What's a dry state
like,
exactly?
Like, no, like you can't like drink.
No, it's dry universities. So like, at least there's I think one or two of the universities that it's like... They have so BYU and Provo. I'm sure you've seen them on TikTok.
I've seen them all.
It's insane.
What's your favorite swear word? Oh, probably shoot.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, shoot's extreme for some people, but
right.
I know we're
anywhere else.
I know we're at time, so I wanted to ask. I have
we're good.
I'll ask the final one so that you can get going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have five that I end every interview with. But I cut a few out, but I wanted to ask what's next? We talked about your new song. What are you up to next? What are you excited about? Hi everyone, Thomas here. I am very sorry. There were some technical difficulties that cut the last 8 to 10 minutes out of my interview with Stacey Ryan. But overall, you got some of the cool stuff. You got her story. You got what music's been in her life, how a TikTok kind of helped change her life and has helped getting her music out to the masses, and how she's using that to express herself and writing from personal experiences. And it's stuff that we can all relate to. And I'm excited that I got to share this with you on Road Trip Playlist. But I apologize. She did talk about, we finished, I asked her some of the questions about what's next. She has some exciting news with music, some exciting things coming. Of course, she couldn't talk about it, so you kind of just missed the teaser of saying there's some exciting things she's working on, but also she's about to do, because Fall in Love Alone is blowing up in specifically Indonesia. She's doing a tour out there, a mall tour, which I think is super exciting. So you missed a little bit of talk about malls and how that used to be the hangout spot for people back in the day and how I was always looking forward to that from the TV shows that I watched growing up. And then I never once in high school or anything really hung out with my friends in a mall like I anticipated. And so that's what you missed. You missed the last five questions that I ask in every interview. And so there were fun things that we talked about there. But for the most part, you got probably what you wanted to hear, the story of Stacy Ryan, some of the stuff she's working on, and also just really cool things about her. I appreciate her for coming on. Stay tuned with all the stuff, so the exciting stuff that she talked about and what's next by following her on social media. I have her social media accounts linked in the description of this. And so go follow her, go stream her music. Really an incredible musician, and I can't wait to see everything that's coming for her. But also follow us, stay tuned with us, follow the website, Road Trip Playlist, follow us on social media, and see what's coming up next. We have a great interview as well next week with another artist that is blowing up on TikTok as well, coincidentally, and it's Camilio. And so I look forward to sharing that with you. Stay tuned, follow, subscribe, and again, look forward to talking to you again next week on the Road Trip Playlist podcast. Thank you.